Amen. We are talking about finding peace in troubled times. And truly, I know that the world is a troubled place, depending on what you listen to in news and what's going on around. We really need to find peace in God. And that can be a tough thing to do as a Christian, because so much is going on in your life, around people that you know, around America, people getting just the hurricane this week and all that. That can create a lot of anxiety in terms of your life. So I pray that this morning as we talk about it, that you really can connect to finding peace in God. How do we find peace in God when the world we live in creates so much anxiety? Do you know that you may be anxious and you don't know it at all? You may be anxious about your tomorrow. You're anxious about money. You're anxious about the future. You're anxious about graduation. You're anxious about your grades. You're anxious about your children. You're anxious about yourself. I mean, we can go on and on with that and just talk about this. And yet, God tells us not to be anxious. This very thing, or this very act of anxiety, is so huge, so prevalent, that we don't even pay attention to how it affects our worship to God. Let's start here. The antidote of worrying is prayer. Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I like that. It says, don't worry about anything. Anything. I don't care what it is. It could be just small things. How you look, your hair, your house. All that stuff that we worry about. It says, don't worry about anything. But it says, instead, pray about everything. The truth be told about our culture is we are now more consumed more than ever about worry. Worry has become a culture, a subculture that consumes us so quietly that we don't even know we worry about it. We have words. We say, I'm concerned. Well, you've been concerned about this for too long to a point where it's become you. You just don't, you worry. I think I've gone too far with that. Don't worry. I don't need to worry about that too. But let's get it right. Instead, you need to pray. I have a question. How often do you pray about small things? Small stuff. I'm talking about, just thank you, Lord, for waking me up. I'm talking about, thank you, God, for the house, for the food. I'm talking about, thank you, God, for giving me a packing. Thank you, God, for allowing me to arrive safe in where I have been going. By the grace of God, you arrived here safely. You know the rate of how people get into accidents and still you get here? I mean, thank you, God, for health. That I wake up, I pray, yes, I may have some knees and other places paining, my back and all that. And that's me. I'm talking about me. Sometimes I'm waking up, walking off, and sometimes my knee's not just right. Sometimes I'm walking, I'm like, well, why can't I just stand up 1 minute and be okay? I have to do it in slow motion. And then that's good. There are days like that. And the days I'm feeling like I'm good, I can handle everything. And yet, we don't realize how much we're so worried. There's an epidemic for young people. We worry about how many people like us when we post ideas out there. It's an epidemic about it. We worry about, do we fit in? Do we not fit in? We worry about many things. You come to the stoplight, and the tunes are coming out of the other car, and your radio is not playing right. And the other cars are having such a good tune. Or you come to the stoplight and you look at the other car and they're all shiny and yours looks has so many dings and you worry about that stuff. You worry about going to start the car and doesn't start. Oh, we're consumed, literally consumed. The Bible says, Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Too many people tell themselves what they think they should be doing. Too many people tell themselves what they think they should be in control of. Too many people tell themselves, you know, I should be doing this by now. The Bible says, tell God what you need. The reason we're consumed with worry and consumed so much to the point where God has no place, we don't feel comfortable, we feel stressed out, anxious. We're marinating literally our bodies, our cells, into the sickness of worrying. Why? Because we will not tell God. Many of us are so worried about what tomorrow will look like, and we don't have an idea about that. But God is saying, trust me and tell me and I'll take care of it. But some of us will even pray. And the more we pray, the more we worry. That is not prayer. That is just a ritual you're doing. You should pray and feel that I gave it to God. Tell God what you need and think about and thank Him for all He has done. Let's switch it a little bit. Can you tell your neighbor what you're thankful about? Take a minute and tell your neighbor. What are you thankful about? Some of you are not talking. That's okay. It's not guilty. Okay. Let's switch this around. Amen. It talks about then it says, be thankful for what He has done. It's easy to be so caught up in the worry of life that when you talk about what God has done, you discount it by your worries. God has done it, but I wish it has gone this way. We're discounted. And sometimes we're spiritual enough not to even say it, but to feel discounting countenance in us, where we feel like, even though I have this, I wish this and I wish that. Then it said, that's not being thankful, and we just keep quiet. But because we thought it, it still invalidates our gratitude. And so because of that, we don't really see the power of God in our lives. And so we are an unhappy people consumed with worry. And worry doesn't help you. It doesn't take over. It doesn't help you see what God is trying to do. Then you'll experience God's peace. It says when you begin to see what God has done, then you'll experience God's peace. It's an experience. It's not an activity. That the same problem, the same life, but you experience peace. It's funny how sometimes I've had news and thought so many things in my head and got anxious. Then went and found out there was nothing to worry about. And I told myself I wasted a whole journey worrying about different things. Why was I worrying in the first place? I just need to stop it. And the Bible says here, you'll experience which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guide your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Here's what we pray about. God, take away this issue so that I may be okay. No, no, no. God, give me peace in the midst of a storm. Because when we understand that, we grow, we find God, we're transformed, we see God differently. In other words, God is no longer an ATM. God is the Alpha and Omega. He can fix things. He can help us withstand and become different people. Christ is formed in us through the struggles we go through. Christ is formed in us in the victories we go through and see how God has blessed that and we own and give it to God. Christ is formed in us not because all the problems were taken away, but because we see how God worked in that problem and shown His hand. Shown His hand. And He had many affixated with God, take it away. And God says, well, God did not take away the cross from Jesus. Rather, He allowed His name to be glorified through allowing Him to go on that cross. And then Him saying, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. You see, We've got to begin to embrace God so that worry can stop controlling us and peace will descend on us. What worries you masters you. It is true. I think that some of us have been mastered so much to the point of we no longer have Jesus as Lord. Worry has taken over. Now, it's not conscious, but it's taken over. It definitely controls your mood, controls where you're going. Instead of saying, okay, there's a bit of stuff going on here. What I need to do is to pray and yes, come up with a plan and put it before God's hands and move on and make it happen. And God will determine the steps. This is something we need to get to. Honestly, I need to challenge us this morning to stop worrying and start coming to a place of peace. That is when you can tell anybody about Jesus. That is when you can serve someone and bring people to your home. That's when you can really be godly and be happy. Not because the problems went away, but because Jesus is Lord. So when he says prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God. We talked about this a little bit 2 weeks ago. And the best example I got of that is that when you go to an anesthetist or going for an operation in a doctor and they have to put you on an anesthesia, they put you to sleep. And you trust that you'll come back. That essentially is saying, well, we're going to do this operation. Do you trust it will be okay? Yes. However, sign on. If anything goes wrong, don't hold me accountable. We agreed that it may go right, it may go wrong. How we can give you all the statistics, but we're good. Yeah, sign up. You go out and come back. That is entrusting yourself to God. That's an analogy that tells you that is entrusting yourself to God. I've taken my wife to hospital when the operation was going on, and oh my goodness, you would think I was the one going under. I would be so scared. I've taken Chelsea to the doctors, and their days I'm like, and then they say, you would think I'm the one going under. I wouldn't sleep properly that night. I'd wake up and think, what's going on? But that is entrusting yourself to God. That analogy is exactly that you don't know, but God, I trust you. That's a tough thing for us to do. We like to know, and there's a place for that, but we got to trust God. That's prayer. That's what it is, that you entrust yourself to God. To pray is to let God and to let God take over. So I have a question for you. How much have you let God take over? 20%? 10%? 6%? 90%? How's it going in that area? If you find that you are letting whatever is worrying you take over your life and you're not praying and you're not focused on God, it's time to let go. You've said what you have to say and given it to God. Now focus on God and let God show you what you need to do. When we're consumed to a point where we don't function well, you may be going to work, but you're not functioning well. You're not relating well as a couple. You're not relating well as a single person. You're uptight. You're afraid. It's not of God for you to live like that. I've come to give them life, life to the full. Why are we so afraid? Why are we so afraid? We're afraid because we want to play God. And that's not our role. Our role is to worship. It's amazing. I have been scared about certain things. Then I let go of that stuff. And I find so much freedom and peace. Some of us are afraid to be known. Who you really are. You're afraid to share your fears. And for some of us, because we've never dealt with our fear, when people share their fears, we attack them. How can you say that? Well, you're reacting because you're not liking yourself sometimes. You're supposed to say, oh my goodness, how can I help? How can I pray for you? We attack the stuff we've not dealt with. You got to feel peace for people. Love them. And be there for people. But you cannot do that if you're not letting go of your anxieties, your worries. And that makes church an unhealthy place. And we cannot invite people to Jesus Christ in an anxious place. We got to come to a place of peace and tell them, Jesus will do that for you. He will not take away your, even though the televangelist preaches that he'll take away everything, that's not true. Because we know it never happened for Jesus, it did not happen for Daniel, it did not happen for Joshua, it did not happen for Moses, but God walked with them. It's a warped gospel. It's almost promising candy to be a Christian. No, it's a place of growth. God helps us become better and godly. It takes humility to overcome anxiety. I understand that anxiety can get you, you can get sick with anxiety. I understand that. I also understand that there are other causes of anxiety. I understand that. But for the most part, I want to talk about this from a position of God and how that can help you. And I can understand that anxiety can also you can get addicted to anxiety. You know that? That if you're not anxious, you're not feeling okay. And it comes with cousins of perfectionism and other things. And other things can breed from all this stuff. And not sleeping properly. And other cousins come along. And brothers and sisters come along with this stuff. Having said all that, I'm not going to be a psychologist this morning. I'm going to stick with the theology of God, okay? It takes humility to overcome anxiety. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That you have come to a place of recognizing that I cannot handle this on my own. I need God's help. I'm a car guy, so I'll give you some examples. If you're riding with a car and it's out of control and you start fighting, it's going to take over. I once was riding, going down a road, a narrow road, and there was a truck coming, and there was a big pothole. And I remember slamming on the brakes, and the car just lost control, and we are off the road. I was with a brother, and I said, we're in God's hands. And I remember letting go of the hands for a while. A tree was coming. I don't know what happened, but we missed the tree. After that, I think I closed my eyes and opened my eyes, and we missed the tree and hold the steering, and gently and gingerly brought it back to the road. Never do that. Please never do that. And I don't do that anymore. It's a hard lesson. The point was, though, as the car was sliding out of control, I realized I could only let go of the gas and the pedal and see how we can walk with this together. I think what happens for many of us, life gets out of control and we fight more. And we more angry, more anxious. And we don't take a step back and pray and say, God, what needs to happen here? What needs to be different? If you think about the things that affect you most are the things you're trying to control. As you give it over to God, it's much easier. It is true. Think about the things that affect you most, the stuff you're trying to control. Give it to God and see how it goes away. It's a fact of that if you let go of stuff, it has less power on you. But you give it to God and you pray and do your part. Does that make sense? And so here's what it says. Humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand. Trust that God will take charge of that. Then he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast. Like a net. Taking a net and casting it in the ocean. In the lake. And knowing that God will take care of you. Let me explain that well. When I'm worried, it's usually because I am trying to do everything myself. When I am not at peace, it's usually because I remember. Sorry, when I am at peace, it's usually because I remember that God is in control. That there's no surprise. God doesn't get surprised that this is happening. And if God is on my side, why should I be afraid? If God is for us, who is against us? What is it that is bigger than God in this world? God got everything, including the date we'll exit earth. We're fine with that. Yeah, you've got to embrace where you are and have fun with it and let God walk with you. If you don't do that, what happens is you live a miserable Christian life. That's terrible. For non-Christian, it's one thing. For a Christian, it's double the because you believe one thing but experience another thing. And that happens because you will not practice letting go and letting God take charge of that. What are you worried about? You may be worried about money. Well, Thomas Hood gave us some example of how to handle that. You got some tools to go home with and work on that, and the money will come together. Not today, but in a few weeks, months, and things will come together. Amen? What are you worried about? Maybe it's a job. I got to tell you this. God knows the job you need. Put your resume out there. Pray about it. It'll come your way. But worrying makes you miserable. When you go for interviews, they will think there's something wrong with this person. What is it? We don't know what it is. But if you're joyful, they say, we want to hire this person, right? You know what? Maybe you worry about how you look. You're created in the image of God. You need to go back in the mirror and understand you're fine. And the only reason you think you're not fine is because you're comparing yourself with something. Maybe it's a magazine picture. Maybe it's your relative, your cousin. I don't know who you're comparing yourself with, but you're fine. You're just what God wants you to be. Amen? Don't listen to what people, all these people that tell people this is the right size and all that size. They're just spunters. They're making money by making comments about how people look. You need to be okay and focus on God. Amen? All right, maybe you're worried about, am I going to be fruitful? I can tell you this. If you're peaceful and reach out to people, they will listen to God. God will use you. Does that make sense? When you're tensed up and you talk to people about God, they say, you're weird. You go to church. What kind of a church is that? You're tensed up. You look like you're about to beat me up. But if you're at peace, they will say, God, there's a God in that place. I need to come to that place. Does that make sense? Maybe you're tensed up about just relationships, even race relationships. You need to give that to God. And reach out to people that don't look like you. And God will do amazing things with that. Does that make sense? So that's what we do. Cast your net. You know how they do it? This is old-fashioned casting, not the modern way. They would cast them out at night. Why? Because the fish come out at night to eat. And wait the whole night and go get it in the morning. They go to sleep. They don't know what's going to happen. They just sleep. Why? God will bring the fish to the net. Old-style leaving. You don't have to keep looking at your phone all the time. How many people call me? How many texts? How many likes? Who is liking my post? How many emails? Why are they not writing back? What's wrong with them? They didn't pick my phone. They didn't return my calls. What's wrong with these people? You go all that's worrying. It gets you judging, negative, all charged up on a negative sense. I mean, the hurricane on Monday was awesome. Yeah, I know you're thinking I'm crazy. I said, it was awesome. I said, it was blowing. I'm like, look at the mighty of God. It's blowing around. Before I know it, my daughter came next to me. She's standing by. I said, Dad, it's leaking. I said, what are you talking about? It's leaking. I touched the place. Oh, wow, my goodness, bring the towel. Let's try to fix that. But I looked outside. It's blowing. God's just showing His mighty. And then that internet went off. Well, that's a lovely thing, you know. No distractions now. No checking, no suffering. Unless it's all your world. You got to work. What happens? Even work, you can do that tomorrow. Even work, you can do that tomorrow. Well, I had a deadline. Well, now you have a good reason to explain why it didn't happen. You see how we worry? Even stuff we can't control. Hurricanes are coming anyway. You can't control that stuff. What you need to do is to learn to go through that stuff in a godly, peaceful way. I'm not asking you to get lazy. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, get organized and trust God. Get organized and trust God. Let God do His job. Let's finish here. I know we're running a bit over time here, but let's get done. Make a decision not to worry. It's a decision. It's not, how do you stop? You say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it today. Here's how I do it. I tell myself this scripture. So do not worry about the things. It just says it's here in verse 31. So don't worry about the things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. So I don't want it to be dominated with these thoughts. But I have a plan about this stuff. Don't get me wrong, right? But they don't dominate me. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. I love that part. And then it says, seek the kingdom. Now let's go here. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He'll give you everything you need. So let's be seeking the kingdom. Let's be coming to midweek. Amen? Yeah, coming to midweek will not kill you. It will help you to be peaceful. Does that make sense? Come to midweek. You will learn a great stuff. Just come to midweek and have a good time. I know you're tired, but come to midweek. Let the Holy Ghost touch you there. Does that make sense? Come on over to midweek and have a good time. Don't stay at home. Yes, you need to pass, but don't compromise on God. Yes, you need to do well, but don't compromise on God. Come to midweek. Seek first the kingdom. Above all else, live righteously. How do you talk to one another? Are you sarcastic, judgmental, putting people down? Or are you righteously speaking about things? Are you rude, condescending, arrogant? Or do you honestly and sincerely want to help? What's your heart? God can show that if you seek first the kingdom, and He'll give you everything you need. So the principle is simple. First you seek God, the kingdom of God, and live righteously, and all these things will be given to you. We invite that. Give me this stuff and I'll give it to you to God. No. With God, it's based on trust. With the devil, it is based on temptation. Very different world. God wants you to trust Him. In other words, pitch dark at night and you're driving and you have a full beam in your car, you can only see as far as your eyes can go. Done. You don't know if the deer is coming on from the left or the right, but you keep going because you trust I'll get home. You trust. You must go. Our faith must move us from where we are. Make a decision not to be afraid, not to seek first the kingdom, to be peaceful, and you will see what God does. So don't worry about tomorrow. Amen? We want you to be here today. Be here now. I'm about finishing the message, but I'm not. Some of you are already out. Stay with me for a minute. I'm about finishing. Stay here right now. Hear me right now. Amen? I know you're thinking it's over. It's just about to get over. Hey, hear what I'm saying, that God needs you to be here right now. Be cognizant of your time and your place. And connect with God where you are right now. And stop running ahead, because you miss the opportunity of experiencing God now. And you never then have a chance to hear God. And you're always anxious and empty. Empty in the sense of you never feel a fulfillment. You're always wondering, why do I never just feel contentment and fulfillment? Even though I'm always thinking, if I got this, I'll be fine. It's never going to happen until you learn to be here now. That was me one time. And my wife had to keep telling me, "Hun, can we slow down?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? We've got to make it happen. Let's get moving. Plan ahead. 10 years out. What are you talking?" She says, "Can we slow down?" It took me many, many, many conversations with her to understand the need to calm down, not rev up my engine all the time. We need to cool down a little bit. Go home and calm down and have a conversation with family, with friends. Don't be in a hurry to leave if you're visiting. We want to talk. We want to get to know who you are. We are a family that loves God. We love you. We're not perfect, but we really deeply want to practice God's word. Welcome, and I hope you can become part of this family. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. We have enough trouble for today. Let's handle today. God bless you.